last week. Who can remember what we did prophetically as a symbol?
We crossed over.
And what did that symbolize, Kim? Right, for streams and for the individuals. We're not going back to what we had before. Those who want to stay there, they're more than welcome to stay there. But we're moving on. We're moving on with what God wants to do. We're moving on with the agenda of God, and that is going into an apostolic model. Today I want to talk a little bit about what you need to do in order to make this model successful. Because I don't think we think so much about what we need to do. And it's imperative that we get this, not only understand it, but we make it part of our lives. Would you be kind enough to turn to Isaiah 9? It's a very familiar scripture. The message is called Embracing the Kingdom of God. And we're going to start at verse 6 and read verse 7 of this scripture. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. Are we there? Okay, scripture says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." We get into a rut as believers because the emphasis for most believers is that we have to understand the redemptive plan of God. Well, God's plan was completed 2,000 years ago. The world is redeemed. The world has not come into the understanding that they have been redeemed by God, because they haven't either heard the gospel, they haven't heard or understood correctly what Jesus has done. And a lot of times what we do is we de-emphasize what we do from the time we get saved to the end. And the apostolic model is one model that will emphasize your part in this plan. This part here has to come into play because God has a greater plan for us, and that is the church of Jesus Christ. We are the answer to every ailment that is going on. We have to admit that when man fell, he ushered in an age of sin, which is seen by conflict, confusion, and fear. But God has ushered in for us and has flooded in into us an age of love, an age of wisdom, and an age of power. And he delegates that authority to you and to me in order for us to make them who are outside the church and those who are part of the church coming to a greater understanding. How many can remember the teaching when, this is going back, way back near the beginning, when I taught about the tank? That reality is still here, mentally. Some of us have really taken to heart, and we have gotten into the tank. The tank is Jesus, the tank is the kingdom, the tank is everything. And we are appropriating the lessons that the Holy Spirit is teaching us while we're in the tank. And there are some who still believe that if I just affiliate, if I just get on the tank, I'll be fine. Well, the falsehood of that is that you will be picked off. You may not be killed, but you will be picked off, and you will not be effective. And there are those who are still like the infantry around the tank, never really committing themselves to the kingdom, and thereby are one of the first ones that are eliminated, either through death or desertion or trial and tribulation. For whatever reason, they just don't embrace the kingdom of God. And we have to understand that this scripture here in Isaiah is not only one it's talking about prophetically about Jesus, but it's also talking about His kingdom that will never end. And that you and I are part of that kingdom. And that you and I need to embrace principles and implement those principles to become very active in our lives. So that, as I like to put it, you could tell who the saints are from the ain'ts. You could tell me you're a believer, but I look at fruit. And that is a world of difference than people just telling me what they believe. I actually see what they believe. You guys have heard the messages, and you have understood, or should have understood, that the sowing and reaping principle is very active in our lives. And sometimes a crop comes unexpectedly into our lives that we didn't expect, but we actually planted that seed many years ago. And God has allowed that seed to remain dormant, but eventually He allows it to come to pass. It's not God's doing, it's what we did. But we like to blame God for all that. When we cross the threshold, all those teachings should have been part of your life. You should have been taking it to heart. And if you haven't, you've got a lot of work to do. You do. Because where we are going, I'm not going to cover that again. That'll be for the elders. That'll be for the women that have implemented those things. They will disciple you into those areas. What is God doing in these days? Well, He wants to establish His Son's kingdom, which is on the throne of David, and it never ends. So if it never ends, it's always expanding. And sometimes what we do is, and Kim and Ken can relate to this, because Streams has been looking for a home for a very long time. And we weren't looking for just any particular home. There were standards that God was setting all on the way for us, that we looked at stuff, and you must have looked at twice as many facilities as we did. Hundreds of thousands, billions upon billions, as Carl Sagan would say. But the reality of it is they weren't going to satisfy just for anything. Neither was Streams, and neither should you, because if you just settle, you are in the beginning of compromise. And when you compromise the kingdom of God, you don't realize it, but you are walking out of its protection. Okay? The world is getting darker. Society is unraveling. The spirit of murder is amongst us in our society because people are killing indiscriminately. There's no reason for it, no accidental reason for it. And the only place that you're going to be able to find any kind of sanity, any kind of peace, any kind of order is in the household of God, is in His kingdom. It's the only place And we could see it. You know, you can put your trust in the kingdoms of this world. You can put your trust in your own ability. You can put your trust in man. But God has a whole lot to say about putting your trust there and not in Him. We are instructed to do what first? Seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all this will be added unto you. Brings us to the question of what is it that we're seeking. Not only are we seeking the king, which is synonymous with the kingdom, but what in this kingdom are we to embrace and know in such a way that shows us different from the rest of the world? And there's seven things that every culture has. There's basic things, seven basic things. One is, it has social organization. The kingdom of God has a social organization. And in this social organization, there is proper way to behave, and there's proper ways to hold one another accountable. There are things that are expected in which to make your life easy, your life expedient, your life to carry on. When we do not implement those things in the kingdom, and all of us should have our hands raised, how many times do we experience turmoil? We all have experienced turmoil. Now, some of it is because we're ignorant of the order of the kingdom. Some of us don't like the order of the kingdom. Some of us like our rebellious nature more. Some of us think better, that we know better than the king knows. And some of us don't even believe that we're part of a kingdom. The fact of the matter remains is there is a social order in which we are to interact with one another and interact with non-believers. Second is customs and traditions. There are things that we do, and there are things that we are beginning to implement that would be constructive customs, traditional things. Tradition would be Easter morning, getting up and being part of a sunrise service. What we do to add to that, because it's an inconvenience for all the families, is that the families come together and we have a breakfast and then we go on the rest of the day. I know some fellowships do that. Some do it periodically. Some tend to do it on Good Friday and have it just a plain Easter service. Whatever it is, there's a tradition. One of the things that we're implementing in here, and we want the men to really begin to mature and look at this, is become part of the Band of Brothers. Not just what's going on with the network, but also streams. Before we entered into this relationship with NRP, I had kicked around the idea of doing something for the men. And that was to build this intimacy, that we would walk together in covenant relationship. And in this covenant relationship, we would have our sons, when they reach an age, to begin to invest into their lives and invite them to be part of what God is doing. That is a good tradition. That is something that I believe the church has lost. And there's much, much more. But if we're not grabbing a hold of this stuff, if we're not lining up our lives with the social order, and we're not embracing the traditions, that's just the church. That, you know, pastor just thinks it's a great idea. You know what? I'm a student of church history, and I've seen how far the church has gone and compromised its system just to be appealing to the world. And there's a ton of problems within the church. Next is language. There is a language of the Spirit that people don't seem to understand. We think that when we articulate spiritual realities and stuff, that we're articulating to people who have a basic comprehension of what we're saying. Because after all, we read our Bibles, we study, we implement these things. We seek first His kingdom, don't we? Some of us do. Some of us don't prioritize Him first. Everything else is first, and we give Him the leftovers. And so when we talk about spiritual realities, Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they're life." And they couldn't understand what He was talking about. Only those who have an intimate relationship with people of the Spirit will understand the comprehension that's required in the spiritual realities. You cannot be on the outside thinking that you're doing this great and wonderful thing and you're comprehending everything that's going forward. Because after all, to be intellectually astute is one thing. To be spiritually astute is a great thing. Because your spirit should intellectually stimulate your mind. Should. And so what happens is, I communicate something, and everybody hears something different. Why is that? One, because you don't know what the word says. Two, because you're building on what I'm saying in presumption. You assume that you understand what I'm conveying, instead of saying, "Pastor, you were talking about this. What did you mean? I didn't understand this." And so what we do is we go away with our opinions and we don't have the word of truth dwelling in us. And so Satan takes advantage of us, as in the parable of the seeds. He takes advantage of us and he steals that from us. So how are we going to be able to embrace this kingdom culture if we don't make it a priority in our lives? We need to understand what is being conveyed with the understanding of why we do these things, for what reason, and where is it leading us to. Make sense? Should. Then there's arts and literature. Every culture has its own arts and literature. And you've heard me say periodically from time to time, "What are you reading?" "Well, I'm real spiritual. I'm reading the Bible." That should be a foregone conclusion. Are you reading spiritual novels? Are you reading fantasy novels? And believe me, I have a problem with people who are given to Christian fantasy. I have a problem because I don't see that in Scripture. I deal with reality and in truth. Fantasy is only what's against us. And when we enter into that realm, we enter into a realm that is of Satan, not of God. What are you reading? What kind of art? What kind of music are you listening to? What kind of music are you composing? What are you painting? What attracts you? I see the Scriptures are very clear in what we have, and it's by the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is what? Peace, righteousness, joy in the Holy Spirit. I don't see this body slamming, this death vampirism that is ingratiating our youth. I don't see this noise that's coming out where they're screaming at the top of their lungs. I don't see even this mosh pit mentality as viable elements of the kingdom of God. Now, I can be wrong, but I don't happen to subscribe to the belief system that I have to be like the world in order to attract them. I just look at Jesus, and He never compromised who He was, and He attracted all walks of life. Something to think about. Religion. Every culture has its form of religion. And in Christendom, there are many, many camps. Outside of Christendom, there is many, many false religions. And we will be covering them in the months ahead in order to make you aware of what these spirits are trying to entertain into the church. And the people of God are so ignorant that they're embracing this nonsense. Why is it that the Christians and the Jews are being persecuted in this nation, and yet the Muslims, New Agers, Mormons are not being persecuted? Just to name a few. Jehovah's Witnesses. You put your, whatever tag on there. You don't hear the same kind of stuff that's going on in the news media berating people of faith. God's people. Why? Because we're the ones that are supposed to hold the moral high ground on every area. We are the ones who are supposed to be speaking to the consciousness of these people, and they don't want that. And so what we've done is we've listened to their lies and said, well, that's okay. An apostolic church is one that's going to engage the public in love, but we're not going to compromise our value systems. Some of us are going to have prison ministries from the inside. Some are going to come and visit us on the inside. Are you ready for this? Are you going to stand up for your faith? Are you going to call it the way it is? Are you willing to offend people who have a form of godliness but deny the power of? This is the kind of church that God is raising up in these days. You look at Acts and you see what the church was all about. And you've heard me say, we are the 29th chapter of Acts. Our history is still going to be written. You are history makers. You have been predestined to rule and reign. It's time that you begin to embrace the culture that will afford you this rite of passage. Then there's government. There is a form of government that's in the kingdom, which means the king rules, we don't. Well, pastor, you know, you're kind of stepping on my toes. You need to get your life right. I'm tired of trying to be nice to you and trying to tell you how important it is for you to get your life right. Jesus is coming, and he's not coming back for a bunch of people who have compromised, and you can't tell the saints from the ain'ts. He's coming back for a bride. That's who you are. You're married to him. You can't be a little bit married to Jesus. I can't be a little bit married to my wife. I'm either married or I'm not. It's kind of like I'm a little bit pregnant. Kind of. Yeah, you know. You're either pregnant or you're not, right? And there's an order in this government. God sets his order in such a way to bring order into his house. This is not my house. This is the house of God. Streams is a house. And if you want to be part of the house of Streams, you will do what God demands of Streams. You will not do your own thing, or you will be in time out. The Holy Spirit will put you there. I don't have to do it. I just need to hear what he's saying. So there is a government. And if you do not know what the government is, you're in deep problems now. Because you don't know what your rights are. You don't know what your privileges are. You don't know what you can do and can't do. You still think that you live your life the way you want. You have ownership of it. Paul tells us, do you not know that your body is not yours? It's a temple of the Holy Spirit which has been bought and paid for. And yet we carry on like it still belongs to us. We still carry on like we can live our lives any way we choose. The fact of the matter is, you can't anymore. We've crossed over. The time of that day has passed. And I'm deadly serious about this. We are experiencing such spiritual warfare that you have no idea. I have people making comments. Well, is Pastor mad? No, Pastor's not mad. Pastor understands the realities. You don't. And I've said to a few people, if people were really concerned, they would come and they would hang with me for a day and they would see the reality that I have to deal with. I know what your reality is. That's what he's delivered me from. The fact of the matter is Streams is going to make an impact into this community, with you or without you. That's the truth. Streams is going to allow the Holy Spirit to change your life individually, to change your life, your marriage life, change your family life. I'm not. Because it's the King's will that must be done, not mine. I'm just a servant. But I've learned one thing. In the 30 years that I've walked with the Lord, I don't want to step out of His grace. I don't want to abuse it. I've been in the middle where I've tried to keep people from receiving what they so deserve. And I've been spanked for it. We have to be careful. We have to understand that there is a reality. Well, Pastor, not all churches operate like that. That's because, first of all, they're still playing around with the gifts. They have not understood that the gifts are made to mature you and to edify the church. Well, they don't believe it in fivefold ministry. The reason why they don't believe it is because it's a lie from the enemy. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Did he rescind what he has given to the church? Have we been raptured out of here? No. People become enamored with the anointing. The anointing is from God. The function is from God. And how we mature and function in that anointing is all that matters. Well, Pastor, you offend me. I'm going to do worse than that. I'm going to turn you over to the tormentors. Read what Jesus said about that. I don't have to do anything. I just need to be about Father's business. And so do you. The seventh thing is the economic system. Every culture has an economic system. What is our economic system? Who can tell me what that economic system is? Okay. Okay, and how's how does that translate into a practical ecosystem, economy? Okay. Okay, but how does that translate into the kingdom? How's the kingdom supposed to function in the economics? Okay. Tithe. Who does the tithe belong to? It's God's. We've gone 8 years, 9 years in this, and people, and believe me, I have not looked at the records, and you can ask Holly, but I know people aren't tithing. What is the purpose of the tithe? Do you know what the purpose of the tithe? The purpose of the tithe is this. It is so that the kingdom of God can flow. The purpose of the tithe is to take care of the orphan, the widow, and the needs of the priesthood. My needs are not being met by the lack of tithing, so I have to seek employment elsewhere to meet my needs. Thereby, if I am seeking my needs outside of the kingdom, that means that I cannot fully devote my time to the kingdom. Therefore, the house is divided. Am I right or wrong? But Pastor, you don't understand. I got bills to pay. Pastor, you don't understand. I have this to do. I have that. Argue with God. He set it up. I'm telling you the reason why now. And your disobedience will be upon your shoulders, not mine. I've told you the truth. I've told you the reason. And I'm telling you the purpose. It's His kingdom. He set it up. You don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with the King. You need to go to the King and see what He says about it. Are you going to be like Esther and prepare yourself and get yourself all ready and have the attitude, well, if I go to the King and He doesn't acknowledge me, I'm going to die? Or is He going to put His scepter out and extend grace to me so I can get my act together and do what it is that He's told me to do? We have this mindset that is not biblical. We have this mindset that we can have a foot in the culture of the world and a foot in the culture of the kingdom, and we're going to be good. We need to reject that. And we need to align ourselves with the King and the kingdom and His purposes. His purpose, church, is not to rapture you out of here. His purpose is for you to make a change in this world so that when He comes back, we're going to judge the nations. We're going to judge angels. We're going to judge people who were saying that they were Christians and are not. That's called dominion theology. And that's who He has called you to become. Isaiah 61:4 says, "And they shall rebuild the old ways. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations." We see this happening because the church is not where it needs to be. You can look at our town and just see how devastated it is. Why? Because the church is paralyzed and afraid to get out into the streets. We took a step of faith 4 years ago and became part of mainstream ministry. We were the only church that went out and did something. All they did was set up a tent. Oh, take this, we'll face paint you. They don't want to engage people because they're afraid to offend people. Streams is not that kind of church. Streams is going to be like the first church, that Jesus is coming back. One of power. Are you prepared to cast demons out? Are you prepared to assault heaven for the needs of God's people? This is real serious stuff. What did Jesus say? You shall speak in other tongues. You shall raise the dead. You shall heal the sick. You shall cast demons out. Was He just talking to them there? He's talking to us. And when we come together on Sunday, we should be celebrating what He has done all week with us. I had a guy come yesterday. I opened up the building about 9:30, and I'm in there and I'm working, and he needed a vent. So Gary gave him a vent. And he and I were talking about stuff. And we got to kingdom theology. And I said, "Wouldn't it be nice if you knew what your purpose was in the kingdom?" He goes, "I've been pondering that very thought recently." So what do you do? He says, "I'm an electrical engineer." I said, "Where do you fellowship at?" He says, "Oh, I'm at St. Mary's, the Catholic church in here." I said, "Do you know what your purpose is?" He goes, "I've been in that church for 30 years. I don't know what my purpose is." I said, "How sad. God's people need to know their purpose. They need to know where they're going. They need to know the reasons why. They need to understand about the king and what he's saying. I said, how sad it is just to hinge yourself to a cart and move along and not know where you're going. You could be going off a cliff as far as you know. And we talked about several other things, but his heart was starting to burn. I could see it. He comes back. He has a coffee for me. He has a couple donut or pretzels for us. And he gives $20 donation to the church. I didn't solicit it. I didn't do any of this. Obviously, the Holy Spirit's doing something here, church. And he's doing something, and he's trying to do something in your lives, and you're resisting him. What is it that he's trying to get you to do? What is it he's trying to get you to see? This thing is bigger than your little problems. And I don't want to minimize it. The problems are real. But God is big. Where would you be if Satan was successful and took me out? Think about that. I know where you would be. God showed me. Jesus announced that he was appointed to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the sick, the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom to the captives, and so are we. That's what we've been mandated to do. It's not an option. It's what he demands of us. If you're born again, then the anointing is in your DNA. And we attended DNA structures and meetings the last couple of years to see if we were relating properly with the rest of the network. They interviewed us. I interviewed them. The DNA is the building blocks of your faith. That anointing is contained within you. God, I need more of your Holy Spirit. God, anoint me. He's given it to you. Yeah, we need to ask him to keep filling us up, keep walking in this thing. Absolutely. Because without the Holy Spirit, without Jesus leading us, we're walking through the desert aimlessly. We have crossed over to start taking the promised land. And you are important to God to do that. The Lord has anointed you with His Holy Spirit to do the work of the ministry that has been devastated by generations of allowing Satan to destroy the church, and then destroy society, destroy our cities, destroy future generations, because what we have done is borrowed against future generations. And when the bill comes due, we're going to be worse than a third world nation. And then, that's when the church should be shining. Should be. It's spiritually easy for me to look at society and determine what's going on. Satan is having a field day. But we're still worried about our little things. I had a conversation with a friend of mine. I haven't seen her in a long time, and we were just talking about what God's doing in her life. We were part of Jesse's birthday last night. And she is so full with faith. She says, I'm unemployed, but I know God's got a job. I need to be about what God's doing. When that time that is up for me to be about doing what God's told me to do, He'll give me a job. In the meantime, my job is to do what He tells me to do. I was like so blown away, because that's exactly what Ed was saying. That's exactly what we say. But how many of us are prioritizing our lives around the kingdom first and around what He wants first, when what we're doing is we're trying to justify not doing that? We're trying to fit Him into a busy schedule that we've made busy. We don't contribute because, after all, our lifestyle is one that mandates that we spend this money in there. Your problem is with God. Your problem is because you're out of order. Your problem is because you're spending more than what He's willing to give to you, And what he has given to you, you have been unfaithful with. Faithful in a little, be faithful in much. My life has revolved around that. I was faithful in very, very little. And God has given me tremendous revelation of the end time church, of which you're a part of. And he has shown me that some of you will be wondering why you're not actively part of what's going on, because you have a union mentality. By that, I've been here for X amount of years. Why is Pastor having this person come up? Why is that person doing this? I've been here. I've been doing all this. Remember I said about the opera singers? I, me, me, me. Those who are being elevated are those who understand one basic thing. How can I serve the King? To be great in the kingdom, you must learn to serve all. I learned that. I sat down with my wife. I explained to her what God was saying, the revelation that he called into my life, the purpose that he's called into my life, standing with Jesus and seeing how beautiful he is, and him taking over my life and saving my marriage and saving my relationship to my kids, delivering me from myself, my selfish ambitions and stuff, and serving my family and serving my wife so I could learn to serve his people. And he found me faithful in that little thing. That day that you guys walked across, you were saying to the Holy Spirit, I want more of this. I want a change. I want you to be active in my life. Whether you understand it or not, that's what you were saying. Today, because it's so easy to understand the spiritual condition of this nation, it's because people have compromised their personal values and have amassed that value system to amass their own personal wealth and power. There's so much corruption at every level of government, whether it's local government or federal government. There's so much corruption in there. It's because there's so much corruption within the church. Judgment starts in the house of God. And we have seen the last several years that corruption from the Protestant aspect of mighty men who were on TV and did mighty ministries, only to find out that they were in illicit relationships, doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. They compromised themselves and thought that they were bigger than God. The reason why government is so corrupt is because there's so many power pimps there. We call those power pimps special interest. And what they do is they promise the legislatures, who are supposed to be working for us and serving this nation in its best quality, not in its worst, they're more worried about building up their own personal accounts. And I asked a person one time, I was at a meeting, and it was a congressman, and I asked one question. I said, how is it possible that a person who goes into government, who's making a nice sum of money, come out as a multimillionaire when they're in government? And he went, next question. They've compromised themselves. And we have the same thing going on in the church. We have gospel pimps. We got gospel prostitutes who are selling themselves for their own gratification. We need to clean that house out just like Jesus did when he cleaned out the money changers and said, my house is going to be a house of prayer. The house of God needs to be cleaned. It needs to be sanctified. It needs to be washed. It needs to stop abusing His grace. It needs to stop aligning itself, see how far it can go when mercy runs out. This will only change when the disciples, true disciples of Jesus Christ, begin to start preaching and acting like the apostles of the first church. And that's why God is reinstituting the apostleship into the church. Now, this apostolic movement is going to take three things. We know the scripture that says the three-pronged cord is not easily broken. So three things are going to have to happen in the church. One, reformation. Two, restoration. And three, a renaissance. A major renaissance has to happen. And it has to start with you. Two, it's knowing the mysteries of the kingdom to sustain us. It means, what is your faith like, and what are you willing to do to allow your faith to grow in God? Now, we hear about Mia's mom, the miracle there. We hear the miracle with the little girl. These are all legitimate miracles. And God, with us, finding us financing when there was no financing. And yet, this is what God's about. He's about doing the things for His people who want Him and love Him and are obedient to Him. He wants to bestow tremendous blessings of which we stop Him from giving to us. And then we say, well, why are they getting blessed? Why is that one getting blessed? Just take a look at your own life. Like He said to Peter, what I want to do with John, that's my business. I'll deal with you. Revelation 12:11 should be our banner. It should be our pantry. It should be everything that we are. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and did not love their lives even unto death. We have been anointed by the Holy Spirit for such a day as this is where we're starting. Jesus said He'll never leave us or forsake us, so what's the problem? The King is on the throne. He promises to make us provision. We're running around wondering if we got a job tomorrow when the job at hand is to do what He wants us to do first. That's first and foremost. And I've seen it time and time again when the people of God have solidified themselves around the purposes of God, and then God begins to bless them in those areas of need. Why? Because He's first and foremost in their lives. We have much work to do, church. Much work to do. That building is going to need much work. And we are working diligently to make that happen. Satan doesn't want it to happen. Satan doesn't want you to be a threat to his kingdom. Satan wants to keep you ignorant of the things you need to be knowledgeable about and embracing. God is not withholding from you. You just haven't found yourself faithful yet. It's a time to reflect. It's a time to understand where you are and why things aren't moving in the direction that you were hoping that they would move. It's about time we make our walk with God real. Remember I said that when we hit this point, it's going to get real, real fast. Well, we're at that point now. We've crossed over. The enemy is ours, and we have won because of what Jesus has done. What are you going to do to terrorize him? Stop being afraid of an enemy that is already defeated. Believe that God is going to provide and make that very thing known. Open up your mouth and ask for help. Do the things that God has instructed you to do. If you don't know what it is, then you need to spend some time with Him. Get discipled. Stop playing this Christianese game. There's people that are going to hell each and every day. We need to seize the opportunity in the lifetime of the opportunity to make an impact in people's lives. And I love the testimony. What are they going to say about your life and how you influence people? Because that's all that matters. I've been to funerals where they didn't know Christ. And how sad it is. You know Christ. Let's go tell them about Him. Amen? Father, we just come before You, Lord God, and we thank You, God, that we have to embrace Your kingdom. We have to stop living like the world, and we have to stop living in compromise. Holy Spirit, forgive us. Forgive us that we have not valued You, what You have done. And forgive us of our childishness and thinking that we can still live our lives in a way that it doesn't matter. I can still live my life the way I want to. Jesus, You are our King. We love You and we want to honor You. And most importantly, God, we want You to inhabit the dwelling place of streams. You are the author and finisher of our faith. You are the director of our souls. And You have won the victory for us. There is nothing to be afraid of. So God, align us. Bring us into proper alignment with You. We have crossed over. And we need to circumcise our hearts again, God. One more time. That we would be called the people of God. To take away that part of our heart, God, that would keep us from entering into the fullness of what You have for us. Start with me, God. Start in my heart, that I may give You even more, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.